Well, thanks again for your welcome, folks. Now, is that blasting you out through the windows, or is that all right for sound? Okay, good. Let's pray. Open our eyes, Lord, that we may see wonderful things in your word. Amen. Well, so much uncertainty. Will the vaccine work? Will it be available? Will my business survive? What about those anti-vaxxers? Will the government extend JobKeeper? When can I visit the family? COVID has affected us in different ways. Our daughter is one of those who's been a guinea pig for the COVID trials. She may have been given the vaccine that gives immunity, or she might have had the placebo that does nothing. She doesn't know. Wouldn't it be great to know? To know not just 50% or even 95%, but with 100% certainty, to know what the future holds. Well, today's passage from Luke makes three staggering claims, claims that were made with 100% certainty. Luke promises that we can face the future with confidence and hope. Now, you might be sceptical. That's okay. Listen in. Luke claims that Jesus is the key to understanding the scriptures. He claims that Jesus killed off death itself. And finally, he claims that Jesus brings us life through his death. Well, the first claim, Jesus is the key to understanding the scriptures. Now, when Jesus talks about the scriptures, of course, he's talking about the Old Testament, right? The New Testament hasn't been written yet. And he's saying that the scriptures are not just a bunch of strange laws and stories and sacrifices, but they're all about him. That is, these 39 books of the Old Testament, written over many centuries, are all about him. Now, of course, you know what they call a fellow who picks up some ancient text and says, "This is all predicting me." Well, he's a loony, isn't he? He's clearly mad. But that's exactly the sort of claim Jesus is making, and three times here. The scriptures are all about him. He rebuked his fellow travellers earlier on in that passage just read. He said to them, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures about himself, about the Christ." Verse 25. Then he goes on, Jesus explained from all the scriptures the things concerning himself, verse 27. And again, everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled, verse 44. Now, Jesus just simply summarizes in a catchphrase what the Old Testament is in the law of Moses, the Psalms and the prophets. That's his shorthand for it. But he's saying, in these scriptures are the things written about himself, Jesus, and these must be fulfilled. Now, that's a staggering claim. And especially to Jews who knew their Old Testament, who knew their scriptures. But those Jews who then read it again through Christian eyes, then they can see Jesus turning up again and again. He is their temple that Jesus rebuilt in 3 days. Actually, he must have been some carpenter. Pity we can't hire his services for the church, isn't it? Here's their Passover lamb, the sacrifice that washes away all sin. Here's their Sabbath rest. Unlike Israel, who are God's wayward sons and daughters, Jesus was the true Israel, God's faithful son. He is their Messiah, King David's son. Remarkably also, he was their suffering servant. So it's all there. It all fits. The Old Testament is all about Jesus. That's the first claim. The second staggering claim is that Jesus killed off death itself. Jesus rose from the dead. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Great. If you don't, though, Some of you may not be sure. Well, can you at least accept this? That if it is true, okay, if it is true, then it has to be the most momentous event in history. There's nothing that compares with it. Without question, if Jesus rose and defeated death, it beats the invention of flight. It even beats aliens, if they exist out there somewhere. It actually even beats the creation itself. This is the new creation. There is nothing that compares with it. Now, let's get this right. We're not talking about some symbolic or mystical resurrection. No, we're going from a three-day dead corpse to a fully alive physical body, a touch and see and feel body, a body that ate a fish-type body. Luke was in no doubt that this was no ghost. When Jesus appeared, Luke writes, they were startled and frightened, thinking they'd seen a ghost. Why are you frightened? Jesus asked. Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see that it is really me. Touch me and make sure that I'm not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies as you see I do. And he showed them his hands and his feet. Still, they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. And he asked, do you have anything here to eat? And he took a fish and ate it as they watched. So we can rule out the strange theories that some bishops and theologians out there come up with, usually at Easter, about some symbolic resurrection. That has nothing to do with what the Bible says so clearly and bluntly. Let's look at faith for a minute. Christianity is not like Buddhism and Islam. It doesn't require unquestioning belief. And faith for Christians is certainly no leap in the dark. Rather, it's based on rigorous historical evidence, so rigorous that many historians and judges have been convinced on the grounds of that evidence. So where is this evidence for the resurrection? Well, there are several proofs, if I can put it in those terms. We haven't got time to look at them all today, but we'll look at three. The first proof, Jesus' death and resurrection were predicted in advance. So the Old Testament didn't just predict Jesus, the Passover lamb, the temple, and so on. It specifically predicts his suffering and resurrection. Jesus said, yes, it is written. It was written that the Christ would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day, verse 46. So the Christ would suffer. Where do we find that? Well, especially if we look at Isaiah 53, the suffering servant, a lamb led to slaughter, pierced for our transgressions. What about Jesus' resurrection? Where is that predicted? Well, Peter quotes Psalm 16 and applies it to Jesus. You will not leave my soul among the dead, he says in Acts 2. What about the 3 days? Well, Jesus compares himself to Jonah in the belly of the fish for 3 days. Matthew 12, citing Jonah 1. So that's the first proof of the resurrection. The scriptures predicted it ahead of time, centuries ahead of time. The second proof, Jesus himself predicted his own death and resurrection. Jesus knew that he had come to earth to die and to conquer death. Now again, this is a totally loony stuff, unless it is true. But he accurately predicted the sort of death he was going to die many times. For example, he said the Son of Man himself must suffer many terrible things. He will be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of the law. He will be killed, but on the third day, he will be raised from the dead, Luke 9:21. So that's the second proof. The third proof, the eyewitnesses. Now again, just to be clear about this resurrection, we're not talking about some resuscitation where a corpse sits up at their own funeral, okay? Now there's a story of a couple of guys who were out hunting, Suddenly one of them clutches his chest, falls to the ground, stops breathing, his eyes roll back. His mate looks on aghast. He's panicking, picks up the phone, calls emergency. "My mate's dead. What do I do?" The operator, in a calm, soothing voice, says, "Just take it easy. I can help. First, let's make sure he's dead." There's a pause, then a shot, then, "Okay, now what?" Well, in Jesus' case, there was no doubt he was dead. One thing about the Romans, they really knew how to kill people. Jesus was whipped, bashed, hung on a cross for hours, and speared in the side just to make sure. You could forget about defibrillators when you'd be crucified by the Romans. His corpse spent 3 days in a tomb. Jesus was good and properly dead. His friends knew that. They'd seen him dying and dead, and they saw him alive again. Now, we're not dealing with rosy-eyed mystics here. We're dealing with fishermen, canny businessmen. Luke was a doctor and a historian. He questioned carefully many eyewitnesses, he says in Luke 1. And there were many eyewitnesses. Paul mentions over 500 of them, 1 Corinthians 15. There were skeptics like Doubting Thomas. "Ha! I won't believe until I put my finger into his nail holes," John 20. Initially, they were incredulous. Who wouldn't be? They didn't believe it. They'd seen him die. They'd handled his corpse. Even when he was standing in front of them, they just couldn't believe it. But in a flash, something changed. They changed. They changed from terror and doubt to conviction and joy. They'd been terror-stricken, huddled in a locked room. The memories of that brutal crucifixion were still raw in their minds. And as Jesus' followers, they hardly wanted to go down that same road. And yet go down that same road they did, again and again and again, some even to crucifixion themselves. And with joy they went out, they proclaimed the good news. They were arrested and told to shut up for singing in prison. Maureen, do you find that, you know, the guards complained about the women prisoners singing? Well, these disciples had radically changed. They knew with certainty that Jesus had beaten death. So yes, there is good solid evidence for the death and resurrection. They were predicted centuries before. Jesus himself predicted them. And we've got rock solid evidence, testimony from the witnesses. So Jesus killed off death. That's the second claim. The third and final claim is also extraordinary. Jesus brings life to us through his death. Well, how's that? Jesus will rescue Israel, we're told in verse 21. Now, Israel had rebelled against the Creator, and the penalty for that was death. Jesus paid that penalty in full. He was the sacrificial Passover lamb. But it's not just Israel. This rescue, this forgiveness, includes all of us, all nations. For we are all rebels against our Creator. And we all need the forgiveness that came at the cost of his blood. Can you see how Jesus is unique? His death and resurrection are unrepeatable. He was called the one who would redeem Israel, verse 21. We obtain forgiveness how? In his name, verse 47. There's no way any other religious figure can even come close to Jesus. He is unique. So Luke claims Jesus is the key to understanding the scriptures. He killed off death and he brings life to us through his death. Three staggering claims, claims that we can have 100% confidence in. We can face the future with confidence and hope. So where does that leave us? Well, Jesus expected, well, no, actually, he demanded a response. He rebuked the fellow travellers on the road. He said, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures." Verse 25. So the message for us today, if you have a faith, then hear and respond. Jesus' last words, his last will and testament, if you like, to the church, were both a command and a promise that this message would be proclaimed in his name to all nations. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. So the church's job, our job, is to proclaim that forgiveness to all, even to the nations. And to assist us, we have the promised Spirit. Verse 49. Jesus said to his disciples, "You are witnesses of these things." Verse 48. That's true. They'd seen him die, they'd seen him rise. But this carries on still today. We are witnesses. Okay, you may not have physically seen Jesus, although some have. But you have witnessed the power of his resurrection, the power of a forgiven life, the power of his Spirit alive in you. So for us, being a witness is not optional. You cannot but be involved in God's mission. Are you? Brothers and sisters, can we rest? Can we rest while one person in this community has not heard the good news, the great news of Jesus and his resurrection? Indeed, can we rest while one nation, one culture exists that has not heard? You probably know one person in every three in the world today has never even heard the name of Jesus. Now, we can't all go, we can't all preach, but we can all work together for this good news. We can pray, we can give, we can serve, some of us can even go. So if you have faith, then hear and respond. If you don't have faith, then hear and respond. Perhaps you might be someone who's just starting to believe. If you've never done it, won't you put your trust in Jesus today? You don't know what tomorrow may bring. Death is only a heartbeat away for any of us. So today, won't you put your trust in him? But you might be like some of those disciples. You hear this, but you can't believe it. If you can't believe, you at least owe it to yourself to look seriously at the evidence before you dismiss it. I would love to sit down with you and read through one of the eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life with you. And I'm sure most of the good folk here would be delighted to do the same. So COVID, yes, COVID brings stress, anxiety, uncertainty, but it pales into insignificance when we look at death itself. Here we have a 100% cure. Not to a disease so that we can then catch the next one, but a cure to death itself. The cure is Jesus Christ, Son of God, the man who died for you and me, the man who killed death. Please join me in talking to Jesus, the risen Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you that you suffered and died for us, that you rose again, beating death forever. Thank you that you've given us the task of sharing this incredible news with our neighbours, indeed with the nations. Help us to be faithful in this task, this day, this coming week. Give us opportunities to share our faith. Give us the words to speak by your Spirit's power. For anyone who may not know Jesus or who struggles with doubts about his resurrection, please join me in this prayer. Lord Jesus, a man once cried out to you, "I believe, help my unbelief." As you open the eyes of your unbelieving followers, open my eyes too. Help me to know beyond any doubt that you lived, you died, you rose again, and you did it for me, so that I could be set free and forgiven. Free from all my failings, free from my past. Help me to live a new life from this day, trusting you, my Lord and my God. Amen.